They're loading into the barriers. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. And they're underway for Moody on the mic.
Well, this is the podcast that's been with you through many things. We've been right through COVID, through riots, and now through an earthquake. Moody on the mic is back. Nothing will bring us down, Peter.
Nothing will stop the show, Rog. Nothing. Shook like all hell this morning, didn't it? I'd never experienced anything like it. Don't know what to say. Didn't know what to think. Shit myself, like everyone else in Victoria, I think.
Mytho, no doubt you're as shaken this morning as you were last week when we were recording, and probably similarly coloured as well.
Yeah, I was a bit dusty last week. I still got my best bet up, I'd like to point out to everyone. That was just pure fluke, data to dartboard sort of stuff. But that's what we do on a Saturday on the punt when you're struggling a bit. I was leaning against a wall on my phone when the earthquake hit. Totally oblivious. Was with a couple of staff members at Rosemont, and I got text messages left, right, and centre. And I said to the workmate, "Do you reckon there's been an earthquake?" He said, "Yeah, I had to. Didn't you see me hanging on to the desk? I didn't feel it a bit. I am oblivious."
Ray, man, you're up there in Queensland where nothing goes wrong. So, you've really got nothing to input to this conversation.
No, I feel a bit I've never experienced an earthquake before, but I was on Twitter as it happened, and then there's 1,000 tweets, like, there's been an earthquake in Melbourne. So, it's just another thing to add to the list of goings-on in Melbourne at the moment, but we stay out of that sort of silliness up here in Queensland. We're good for a bushfire, we're good for a flood, but we're not good for an earthquake.
And, Rog, the epicenter was pretty close to your heart, the hometown of Mansfield.
Yeah. I've often left Mansfield quite shaken after a big weekend with the boys. But, yeah, it was no damage to anyone up there, though, by the sound of it. I'll tell you what, though, Loneva Park, they had a cult born moments after the earthquake. They went around to check out whether anything was wrong and saw that a mayor that wasn't expected to fall today, moments after the earthquake, so at least they'll have no trouble naming it. I think it's one they bought off you, Mytho.
No, the file was by our great Strasburg and was a cracker, apparently. So I think they'll have a lot of fun, and there's been a Twitter lit up with some suggestions for what to name that. I can't remember if it was a cult or a filly, but the file by Strasburg.
It was a little cold, and there is a horse already racing called Aftershock, but it's in Canberra and stunned bugger all. So if they don't retire it and let these guys name this horse Aftershock, there's something wrong. Moods, big weekend for you. Lightsaber, of course, won the Group 3 Guineas Prelude. Next stop, Guineas?
He goes in there probably about a 20-to-1 shot at this point in time. Was the Guineas Prelude down on the Exford Plate the previous week? I think they were probably pretty much on a par quality-wise. Got the Stutt Stakes and the Golden Rose over the next few days, Friday night and Saturday. Whether that's going to shed any light in the Guineas, see how Enemo goes in the Golden Rose, see if Artorias can finish off at the end of 1400. That might shed a bit more light on the Guineas, or Lightsaber might get a soft run up on the speed in the Guineas again and get himself a good chance.
And welcome for punters who you gave it a solid enough push on me on the mic last week, and I know I it got me back in the winning, so that was a nice little return.
I know there's a few people that listen to the show regularly have told me before they think this Moot's not like Lightsaber, because he's always talking him down, like as a two-year-old, and then they really listen. When Moods talked him up ahead of the race on Saturday, it was basically a chip sim job, because they knew if Moods was talking up Lightsaber, he must be about to win. That was exactly right. Very well played, Moods. 2 weeks in a row that Moods has confidently tipped the punters into one of his own runners.
God bless him.
The most profitable podcast going around, Moody on the mic. Don't you worry. Stick with us, folks. Sierra Sue won the Group 1, Sir Rupert Clark. But, Raymond, I think I Am Thunderstruck is the one that most people will be following out of that one.
Yeah, there's a few good runs in that race. I Am Thunderstruck, obviously, Stormtone. Like, I thought probably it was really good with the big weight. But I think they can thank me, the connection of Sierra Sue, because I wrote this big piece and we did a video about it for Ladbrokes about how the winner of the PB Lawrence Stakes never goes on to do anything, and it's an awful form race. We released it on Thursday, and then Sierra Sue comes out and wins the Group 1 on Saturday. So I'll be taking I'll take all credit for the reverse mocks there on Sierra Sue.
I watched that piece, Ray, man. I thought there's a really, really good Another great video by Ladbrokes. So I didn't actually take it into the point where I realised you'd stuffed up, or I would have had it at the top of the rundown.
That's fair. Well, you know, these things, history's made there to be broken. So we know the form coming out of the McIver Divas Stakes hasn't been great in recent years either, but we'll break that in a couple of weeks as well.
Nope, you're right, Rain Man.
Wasn't it great too to see Daniel Buckets Moore get his Group One in Australia, and the emotion that he showed after the race? He just needed a little moment with the horse before he came back and dropped the tear out of the left tear duct and got on with the show. But it was great to see what it meant to him. And he's a likable bloke. He's a good jockey, and maybe his career can really go next stratosphere after that.
And on his birthday also, Buckets was 37 on Saturday, and he's been a real journeyman. He's been all over the world. He's a real tradesman, works hard, and very deserving of it. And saw him at Moonee Valley on Monday morning at the Gallops, and couldn't wait to congratulate him. And I think he'd had that many back slaps. He's just one of the real good guys of racing, and you love to see it happen. So that was tremendous to see him get the opportunity there.
He's got a great book of rides this weekend as well, anymore. He's on Wild Rural in the Moore Stakes, so he could back-to-back.
Well, these riders are actually going to get an opportunity now, the likes of Buckets and a few others, obviously without the influx of interstate and international riders for the carnival, they're certainly going to get a chance. And we saw the old Let Fast Horses Run Fast in Sydney on Saturday, the shorts, the rendition or the warm-up to the Everest. We saw Eduardo and Nature Strip. Well, you wouldn't say cut at one another, but they certainly didn't take any prisoners. And Eduardo was the toughest on the day. Maybe the conditions suited him a little bit better, but, did they find a little chink in the armour of Nature Strip there that we have seen on occasion?
Eduardo's the horse that I think he's just always underrated by the market. And I think he was, in terms of the Everest picture, he was one of the most recent horses taken up. But I think he really, after Nature Strip, Mask Crusader went, I would have had Eduardo as my next pick because his outstanding. He's winning the Galaxy, was high rated. He'd previously beaten Nature Strip. Then he started the TJ Smith as basically equal favourite at one point with Nature Strip. So he's a horse that under Joe was always, he's always a very good horse, but under Joe Pride has just gone to another level, and he's going to go to the Everest as a very genuine winning chance.
He's worked him out fresh, hasn't he? And it's a well-orchestrated campaign to run here. This is the lead-up. We won't see him again until the Everest, which is, I think, 5 weeks between runs. So he'll give it a real shake, rattle and roll. I wanted to ask Rain Man, what about the Beaten Brigade? Because, I mean, we see this is the fascination about the Everest, isn't it? That everyone, that when to go? When do you lock in your horse? Do you spot one early and you look like the genius, or do you just hold sway and wait and see what run comes to the spring in good form? What runs a good lead up and run the risk of missing out on a nice horse? But gee, I reckon there'd be some slot holders that would be sort of, you know, hands in head, thinking, oh my God, are we really locked into running that horse?
I know it'll probably not happen, but is there any risk that they won't get a capacity field? Like, I know the Everest holders, the slot holders are going to want horses representing them, whatever the case, I suppose a 500-to-1 shot. But who's going to want to run in it if they don't feel competitive, or they can run in another race and earn more prize money and not have to give some of it away to a slot holder? It hasn't got to that stage where I think we've got 7 locked in and there's still 5 spots open. I'm not sure of the money conditions and how it works down, but is there some chance that some slots will not be taken this year?
I think that all the slots will end up being taken, but I think the point's valid, Moose, is that I think it will be a race with a very long tail. And we know that last year they did struggle to fill those sort of last 2 slots. Swats That was offered a slot. It knocked it back. There was quite a few horses in that knocked back that 11th and 12th slot. And then we ended up with Dollar for Dollar running in the race. Dollar for Dollar is a very good horse, but not sort of the type of horses that we generally envision when we think about an Everest. But I think the Moya Stakes on Friday will be interesting because there's a number of horses in that race that could put themselves right in the Everest picture, not only if they do run well. But I do think, it is going to be a pretty long tail because there was nothing in that the race on Saturday that didn't already have a slot that sort of put its hand up to say, pick me, pick me.
And the benchmark 58 at Maui on Saturday, that might be able to throw up a wild card to fill the 12th slot.
And there's no doubt, Moods, that every slot will be filled because it's costing those owners, regardless of whether you run or not, $600,000 to participate. So they'll find a horse. It's just to your point, it might be the benchmark 58 winner at sale is the one that takes up, puts their hand up and says, yeah, I'll have a crack at running for 10th prize money because, the prize money obviously being at, what is it, 12 million or 14 million, whatever it is, they pay a long way down and there's still a nice check for some of those horses that are beaten 10 lengths.
Some of them might get that desperate and they might offer a Brooklyn Hustle a slot. Like, that's it. This is...
It's an interesting quandary to be in. To Moods' point, Brooklyn Hustle, if she was offered a slot, we'd be thinking long and hard. It would be no lay down Mazir that we'd take one up. You don't need to run around for practice. You may as well put her in races that she can be competitive in and win. And Nature Strip and Emuado look as though they've got the Sprint Brigade by the throat.
And particularly if there's another option, particularly with a mare like her or something else, where you think you can go and knock off a Group Two or a lesser race, even at Group One, and that's going to interrupt your campaign. And I suppose the other thing, the star highlight of the weekend, we've got to bow and give credit where credit's due. Australia's best horse, Australia's best performed horse, very elegant, knocked off her ninth Group One. That's a phenomenal effort on that mare's behalf. Phenomenal effort. Chris Waller and his team. Three or four seasons now she's been going around. What a great mare she is.
Could not endorse that more strongly. And she looked gone too, didn't she? She was in a lot of trouble at the 400 on straightening. I had a bit of a multi going into her and thought I'd blown the stack there. But back to the inside, she pricked her ears and went to the line, soft as you like, at the end. So, it was an impressive performance.
And we might have a few heavyweight showdowns with Very Elegant in her next couple of starts because there is talk she could head to Melbourne for the Turnbull Stakes, set up a very high-profile showdown with Incentivize, and then she'll go to the Ladbrokes Cox Plate where she'll clash with Zaki and maybe Incentivize again. So, Very Elegant. I think she's going to be one of the most interesting horses to follow for the rest of the spring because we're in for some... I think she's already probably a champion, but she could really put herself in another stratosphere if she's able to beat these really good horses to win a couple more runs this prep.
Nine Group 1s, Rayman would suggest she's definitely a champion.
People will argue otherwise, Rog. We do live in Australia where we do hand out...
People are fucking stupid then.
Yeah, well, I think in her case, definitely she's a champion. But we do live in Australia where we hand out Group 1s like cupcakes often, so...
Would the owners of Very Elegant, given that there's a significant ownership crossover between Very Elegant and Incentivise, I mean, that would be an interesting call for them to go to the Turnbull.
No, not at all. There's still significant differences in the ownership group, so... Incentivise goes there because that's the best lead into the Caulfield Cup for him by hook or by crook. And the Turnbull Stakes is a race that Chris Waller's used for probably the last half a dozen years with the likes of Winx and his other gallopers as the lead into the Cox Plate. So obviously you've got the Caulfield Stakes a week later, which is another option, but then that probably means butting heads with Zaki before the Cox Plate if they so wish. But I would suggest... that is the path Waller's taken. I suppose the curveball is the Hill Stakes in Sydney, the Group 2. It's been pumped up to $1 million, I think, same prize money as the Turnbull. But, do you take away the opportunity of a mighty mare like Very Elegant running in a Group 1 that has proved a good lead-in to the Cox Plate, or do you take the option of going to the Hill Stakes at home? I suppose Chris Waller will answer that question. He'll make the decision, and there's no one better to make it.
To show you all how to Ladbroke it. Take a look at where the big bets are landing. Ladbroke's Bet Ticker gives you a live feed of incoming bets across all your favourite races and sports on your Ladbroke's app. Plus, you can now select and filter by runner. See where the big bets land with Bet Ticker.
But let's not stop there.
Let's Ladbroke the world! Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
All right, let's take a look at some key races this Saturday, the three Group 1s on the program across the weekend. The first is on Friday night. Friday night Ladbrokes, Friday night lights, returns at the Valley, Rain Man. This would no doubt have some movement in your bathing suit region.
I'm very excited for this race, Rog. Very excited for the entire meeting at the Valley, packed full of quality. But this Moya Stakes is an absolute ripper. It's a great betting race. Profiteer, the three-year-old, he's the X factor in the race. He's opened the favourite. Good early move for the Inferno. He's in on the second line of betting. Then you got the likes of Wild Ruler, September Run, Ballistic Lover, Trekking, Portland Sky, Brooklyn Hustle, Swats That. It's a great race with a fair amount of depth. And I think it's a much more open race than the market suggests. Profiteer, we saw what he did as a two-year-old. He's clearly a horse that has speed to burn, can run some serious time, does look very well suited to 1,000 metres at the Valley, but he's up against older horses for the first time. We know that can be a tough challenge. He'll be in a, this should be a fairly high-pressure race, which he hasn't got a great deal of experience in either. So I think he's definitely a winning contender. I'm certainly not putting the pen through him, but he's taking a fair chunk of the market here. I think that means there's some serious value on offer for some pretty well-credentialed horses. So there's three horses here that I'm keen to back. The first one that I think is massive overs is Swats That. You're currently getting $18 to win, $4.80 the place. This horse was third behind Nature Strip and the Black Caviar Lightning over 1,000 metres in the autumn. Wasn't beaten that far. A repeat of that effort would, I think, be good enough to win the Moya Stakes. And we know that she's run well at the Valley before. Second behind September Run in the Coolmore. And she does have tactical versatility as well, which I think is key here at the Valley. From barrier 9, Ollie can ride her fairly aggressively. So I think at $18, she's massively over the odds. I think if Wild Ruler's done a winning Group 1, this is probably his best chance. This all probably the Ladbrokes Monocado Stakes. He maps to get a lovely run here from barrier 4 with Daniel Moore in the saddle. His first up run in the Concord Stakes behind Nature Strip was very good. He should take good improvement from that run. And he's just, he's been performing amongst these really good Sydney sprinters and certainly hasn't been disgraced. So I think in this sort of field, he's really well placed. I think he's over the odds at $7 as well. And we know that she always needs luck, but I've got Brooklyn Hustle. I want to have her on my side. I don't want to lose on the race if she wins. We saw her run really well in the Moya Stakes last year when she flashed home for fourth. And we saw sort of Pippi makes things very tough for a horse like Brooklyn Hustle. I think Pippi over 1,000 metres at the Valley, it's almost impossible for Brooklyn Hustle to run her down just based on their racing patterns if Pippi does produce at her best. But I'm not sure they'll be sort of that sort of tear-ray lead that we know will be really strong at the end of 1,000 metres, which I think might just give Brooklyn Hustle her chance. I think the fact that she's drawn outside is an advantage because she's not going to run into a host of backsides like she so often does in Group 1 races. So we know that she can sprint really well fresh. I want to have her on my side as well.
Well, fuck me, Rain Man. The only horse you didn't discuss was the clerk of the course, and I reckon you could put him in the outside barrier and find somewhere where he's going to be in the run as well. Listen, I agree with you. The Moya Stakes, it's a great rendition of it. I'm with the Inferno. I thought he was very good the other day, and I think he'll only improve off it third up. Going to get a gun run around that midfield spot. The interesting two for me are the 10 and the 11, Shakiro and Profiteer, the 2 3-year-olds. Waller wouldn't be running Shakiro if he didn't feel he belonged being here. So just a watch on him from gate 2. Profiteer, I think he's an exciting colt, but where's he going to land from gate 7 with some of these older, tougher horses around him, where Shakiro's not going to have to do anything? He's just going to pop out and be there. Is he good enough? I don't know. But I'm with the 3, Inferno, probably, and Portland Sky, the horse he beat last start. But keep an eye out for the 3-year-old. Throw them in your multiple.
Portland Sky's the one I thought was a little bit of value. Just if it can just turn the tables, a similar draw to what they had against each other last time, the Inferno and Portland Sky. And he is a Group 1 winner, of course, with the Oakley Plate, a dead heat in the autumn. So I thought at $11, Portland Sky presented a fair bit of value. But to be honest, it's bloody hard to find a winner in this race. There are chances everywhere. Profiteer, obviously, a Roll the Dice horse. And, Lee Savile from Roll the Dice works at Mooney Valley as well. So it'd be nice for him to get the Group 1 of the Valley. There'd certainly be he might be allowed on track. He might be the only owner allowed on track. There's obviously plenty of chances. Mitho, can you make a case for Brooklyn Hustle? Or
I certainly can.
I know you could always make a case for Brooklyn Hustle. So.
Pretty much. It's such a fascinating race. There's 3 Australian Group 1 winners in this race only, and none of them find themselves in the top 3 in betting. Trekking, Portland Sky, and September Run are the 3. And outside of that, the market is suggesting that there will be a new Group 1 winner to hit the honour boards on Friday night. I hope it's Brooklyn Hustle. I'm a bit against you, Rainman, on the draw. I would have liked a softer draw and seen her draw inside. Her best runs and best performances at the Valley have been when she's drawn inside and come stuck to the inside and come through the field rather than getting to the outside. She takes a while to balance up on that camber corner for whatever reason. So if we get the opportunity to be back and inside, I think you'll see her trying to slice her way through the field while they're all clamouring to use that camber to sweep into the race. So that's perhaps the watch on her and the reason why you wouldn't back her, because if she doesn't get that run, she doesn't get the luck. Well, she's not in the finish, and we've seen that all before with Brooklyn Hustle. But if she gets that run, she gets that luck, by golly, she'll be hard to beat. I just keep coming back to her Oakley Plate first up in the autumn, where she was beaten, a long head to run fourth yet again, another fourth in a Group 1 race. So I'm dead scared of Trekking as the genuine Group 1 horse in this race. And we offered the ride to Craig Williams and he said, look, it's a toss of the coin between you and Trekking. And he's gone the other way. So blue to beat red in a close one if I'm betting with my head, but I'm hoping red beats blue on the night.
Do we read anything into C. Williams riding Trekking? Did he get the drag off September run or did he choose to ride Trekking, do we think?
I think he probably chose to ride Trekking over September run, in my opinion.
I think he felt maybe September run wasn't suited at the Valley, to be honest. So he's made an interesting call there. From one, where does she land September run? She'd have to be up on speed, wouldn't she? So maybe she gets the cozy.
No, she doesn't. She gets back a bit too. So
yeah, Barry one, I think for her is a horror draw because she's gonna need all the luck and she's gonna need to open like the Red Sea because she'll be behind Brooklyn Hustle.
All right, let's move on to Saturday now on another Group 1. Group 1 racing returns to Sandown. It is the Underwood Stakes.
Ladbrokes Park Sandown, that is, Rog.
Ladbrokes Park Sandown. Moods, thankfully, Rayman can't list 15 horses here because there's only five in the race. Zaki certainly appears to have scared off his rivals, although, as we record this, Rayman, drifting favourite. He's $1.20 out to $1.28.
He was $1.22. Yeah, to $1.28 now. Bit of move for Probabil, $7 into $5. Superstorm's there to $11. The Chosen One, $19. 50 Stars hasn't fired a shot this prep, is $31. Obviously, Zaki, the horse to beat, was excellent in the tramway stakes, should only improve up to 1,800 metres. But Probabil is a very good horse, and I think this is a good placement by Jamie Richards because I think she can – well, I'd be shocked if she doesn't get another Group 1 placing here. And if there is just, if Zaki, there's something amiss on the day, she could very well nab herself another Group 1 here, probably. I think she can run really well. She looked to me last week in that 1,400 metres at the Sir Rupert Clark that she was a horse looking for that bit more ground because she was under pressure a long way from home and then just kept finding the line late. Then she was sort of coming back at the outside of Sarah Sue, coming back at the other horses to beat her home the other day. And that was under tough weight conditions. So back here at Weight for Age, I think she gets in pretty well. So probably all run second, Zaki wins. That's pretty much it. But I think it might be a bit closer than the market suggests. I think probably can give Zaki a proper race.
I spoke to our old mate J-Mac last night. I was doing a story for racing.com and I just wanted to get his thoughts on Zaki, given he's not riding in this time. And he said, it's a sit and steer job. Don't worry about that. Moose, I don't even think Willow can willow him.
No, listen, he's looked outstanding. He looked super first up. He's had the three-week break, travelled down here, did a bit of work at Sandown on Tuesday morning, looked ideal. Yeah, what do you say? 50 Stars out of form, Chosen One once further. Superstorm got all the breaks the other day to win, and Probabil's a damn good mare. But this horse is probably the potential heir apparent to Superstardom, really. We've seen... funny things happen in small fields, but listen, he probably leads. I would imagine he probably leads and extends that lead.
Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing further to add. He's a class above these on what he's shown so far, and I don't think it matters where he sits with that turn of foot that he's got. over the last couple of furlongs, he'll put them away and probably be able to chase and make it tough. I wasn't so sure about Probabil's run last week, Rayman. I know she had to wait, but I thought she was just a little bit plain late. I expected her to sort of pick up and run into third, and you'd say, yeah, well, that was a pretty good run. But, I just was a bit flat on her. It helped her. It probably helped me being flat that she had a big multi going, just needed to put her head down and run third.
I was definitely thought the same thing at first. I went back and watched the replay a couple of times. And on the replay, I think there was a lot more merit in the run than I originally gave her credit for. So, no, I think she can run well here.
No, my telly wasn't working after I chucked my shoe at it.
Totally different format, weight for age, to handicap racing as well and giving weight and all that. I thought she was very good, although we all found her as the winner of the Rupert Clark, and she probably let us all down. But no, I think she was very good, very good.
Just gave back some of my lightsaber winnings on probably Bill late in the day, but that's fine. Let's move on now to Sydney. It's the Golden Rose, Rayman, and we get another look at Animo here. Obviously, tough job for Darren Flindell, Artorias Captivon in the Congo and Tiger of Malay all in the same silks.
Yeah, well, you don't get that. China Horse Club colours do pop up a lot in these big stay-in-making races. So I think he's quite used to it by now, Darren Flindell. He also has to call a lot of Godolphin runners in
the
same races. So he's a pro. He'll get the job done. According to the market, Animo's race to lose. It's been $1.90 out to $2. So you're getting even money now at the moment, which I don't think will last on race day. Remark bit a little bit of money again for it. It's been $10 into $8. Artorias is $9, in the Congo $9.50. Jamea, the filly in the field, is $15. But I agree with the market here. I'll be happy to back Animo at even money in particular. We saw what it did in the order. Winning the size over 1,400 metres was outstanding. And his run to the Rose of Victory was really good. But it was the sort of run that suggested, I'm going to be even better with that run under my belt. So the Golden Rose, historically, and especially in recent years, has been an outstanding race. For favourites have got a brilliant record. And for me, it's tough to make a case against Animo. I think he's clearly the standout here. I think in the Congo can run well again. He was gallant in the run to the Rose. He'll be there. He'll make his own luck on the speed there with Tim Clark in the saddle, who's one of the best judges of pace in the country. So I think he's a bit of a way to finish in the placings. But for me, it's Team Animo.
We've had a tough time of it here in Victoria, and maybe it's just a big V shining through, but I'm not riding Artorias off. I know he's two runs back, he's finished second, but by a combined margin of 0.4 of a length, perhaps he probably should have won at least one of those. Animo is certainly the horse to beat, but Artorias at around the $9 mark, I wouldn't mind having a bit each way, although I am hedging a little bit because I do have a big futures multi that involves Animo winning the Golden Rose. But I just think, I think Animo probably wins, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Artorias jumped out of the ground and got him.
Well, I'm going to throw a curveball in here. I think Animo is a very good horse, but I think there's another colt that we probably haven't seen the best of yet. And keen to hear Rainman say there's a little bit of money for him. He's drawn a marble. He's going to get a good track. It's the 7 Remark. I think he's a damn good colt, and I think this is his chance to step up to the big stage and probably stamp himself as one of the best three-year-olds, if not the best three-year-old in the country on Saturday. I think it's just all married up for him. The good four, good barrier. Animo was very good off that little hiccup. He got the job done first up. Great respect for James Cummings. He wouldn't be taking horse to the races if he wasn't on the up. But I just reckon the other horse with the two runs under his belt and finally got a draw and got a good track, playing at home at Rose Hill, I think Remark is a good thing and nearly my best of the weekend.
Wowee. Taking on Animo, Mytho, Balls.
Best of the weekend.
To beat some onions, the big mood.
Wow, that is big call Moody. Big Balls Moody, Big Balls Petey comes to play.
The
Moody
size of this mind. Head.
Wowee, that was a big call. And look, I really like Remark. I was tossing up and listening and believing everything you say there, Peter. And I keep coming back to the draw. Drawn so well. Going to get the cushy run. And it's sort of what you need, 1,400 Rose Hill. You need to be You know, not too far away from the speed, getting a nice little bit of cover, you know, making your run in, you know, not too wide. It does map very nicely for Remark, but Animo, just outstanding first up and no real right to win first up. It took a long time to, wasn't going to get there, then Class prevailed, put in the big couple of bounds and really attacked the line there at Kembla Grange. So I've just got Adamo on top, but I wouldn't be surprised if Big Petey's right. He's right most of the time. He's been right on Moody on the mic the last couple of weeks. Why wouldn't he be right this week?
Now, here's a thought. Let's make racing even more exciting.
With Same Race Multi.
Across all three race codes.
Ladbrokes has Australia's biggest Same Race Multi offering across thoroughbred, greyhound, harness and international races. Add up to four runners to your Same Race Multi, lock in your odds and watch your potential payout increase. Bet with Ladbrokes, the home of Same Race Multi.
T's and C's apply. See ladbrokes.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Alrighty, best bets time here on Moody on the Mic. Rain Man, kick us off.
I'm so excited for the Valley on Friday night, Rog. I'm going to offer not one, but two best bets. I'm going to start off in the Stud Stakes. Race 3, number 1, Mr. Mozart. The horse that beat Artorias last start in the Exford Plate. You're getting 550 for this horse, and there's no horse the quality of Artorias in this field. So it makes its own luck right on the speed, which always helps at the Valley. And if it can, even if it doesn't improve necessarily off that Exford Plate form, I think it's going to be very tough to beat. So at 550, I think Mr. Mozart is a great bet. Later on in the evening, race 6, number 1, Homesman. First up here in the JRA Cup. He was in the spring. He was excellent first up. He won the Crystal Mile. In the autumn, he won the Australian Cup. In the winter up here in Queensland, he finished a pretty good second behind Zaki in the Q22. So his form's been really good. He goes well fresh. He goes well in the Valley. You're getting $4.80 in what's not the strongest race. So happy to have Homesman as well.
All right, I'm going to go to Sandown on Saturday. Race 4, number 2, Zuzarella, a horse we've spoken about numerous times on this show. Once where I talked punters out of backing her, and she went on and won her second start at the Valley. She's out. She's 1,000 guineas bound. She's out at 1,400 metres at Sandown, where it probably suit her a lot better than the Valley, where she's won her first two starts. So I'm going race 4, number 2, Zuzarella, the omen bet of the weekend. Now, I've got to be honest. I like Elephant in the Ladbrokes Sandown Stakes. But if you want an omen bet for grand final weekend, right down the bottom at $18, a horse called Warsfold, two-time premiership captain, one-time premiership coach on grand final day, race 5, number 7, Warsfold. And speaking of grand final day, go you doggies.
And Worsfold, what's it by there, Rog?
Famous award.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that earlier when I checked it out.
Anyway, on to my best bet. Not so much a Rosemont Ruffy, but we got the chocolates and we tipped it as the best bet a couple of weeks ago. Same combination, same colours, same little trick. Danny O'Brien over to Adelaide with Stay Gold. To get the prize in race 7 at Morphettville. We did it with Reflect the Stars a couple of weeks ago, got the Chocolatos, got everyone off to a good start if you followed the show. I have to wait a little later on Saturday, but Morphettville race 7, number 2, Stay Gold, fresh, first up, in the market about 3:30. We'll all be having a massive winning day by then. We will have filled up on Friday night. Moods is Remark will have got the prize and you can load up on Stay Gold. Moods, what do you like?
Sounds good. Pretty quiet weekend for Moody Racing this weekend. We've got one runner at the Valley on Friday night. Smitzer takes his place in the first in the Colts and Geldings 1200. Can improve. He ran a nice fourth in the Ranch Hand Integrating. What's that bastard's name?
Ingratiating.
He ran a nice fourth in that race, and it's probably not bad form heading into this three-year-old race on Friday night. Blinkers first time, just worried that sometimes they jib the start in Blinkers, but he can run well. Diamonds in the Sky takes a place in the first at Sandown Saturday afternoon. 1,000 metres, would have loved it to have been 1,100. Might just find it 100 metres short. We'll ride her off the speed again. She'll be closing very strongly. I'm going to put these big bulls on the line, as Mytho said. My best of the weekend is in the Golden Rose, race 8, horse number 7, Remark. To bowl the favourite NMO over. I think he's a damn good colt, and I think he'll stand up on the big stage here on Saturday. great racing. Looking forward to seeing Zaki, of course, even only a small field in the Underwood Stakes, but really looking forward to that. So best of luck. Plenty on the board. Friday night, Saturday, grand final. I'm with, you know, Rog, my daughter plays for the Dogs. She's cheering for him, but you've got to feel for Melbourne. It's been 60-odd years since they've won one, hasn't it? Doesn't count. No sympathy. I'll see a bit of the footy with interest, but best of luck to both teams there. And more importantly, jocks, make sure you let fast horses run fast.
Ladbrokes.